Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I've got a great word to share tonight from the book of Ezra. Why don't you find your Bible and whatever form you have, digital or paper, and we're going to read from the book of Ezra in just a moment. And when we read, those of you that are able will stand together for the reading, but it'll be just a little bit because I need to set up what the word is tonight by sharing some background so that we have the context of what's happening in this particular passage. Before we do that, I'm going to take a moment to pray. Why don't you pray for me that somehow I can express to you in a way that we can all hear what God has put in my heart to say today, because sometimes I don't always get out what I'm trying to say. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You go back later and go, oh, I should have said this. Right? So let's pray. Father, I thank you that tonight you have a right now word for Kings Alaska and for those that are online, for kings in the future that are to come as we look to plant more works, as we pursue 1,200 locations, congregations, 120,000 disciples. You've given me a glimpse of where we stand and how we can help make that happen for Anchorage, for Juneau, for Fairbanks, for villages. God, we've got them all on our radar. We want to touch Alaska. And I believe you've spoken to us tonight. You're going to speak to us tonight from Ezra in part on bringing it about. Help me in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Daniel for inviting me to preach. We have some very powerful guests coming up and line up. We'll have Pastor Gary Brothers at the end of July. And we have Brother Ivan Tate on down the road. And we have powerful staff members that are great preachers delivering the word of the Lord. And Pastor asked me to preach. I'm preaching tonight. And then if the Lord wills, I'll be preaching next Wednesday night as well. We'll see how that goes. I'm so thrilled. Thank you, Pastor Daniel. You're probably online right now from Maui before the service begins there at King's Cathedral there in Kahului. Something happened to me when I was 14. My dad signed me up for something. I happen to think mom and dad are the greatest gift their kids will ever have. Well, my dad signed me up for something that I didn't really want to do. Anybody ever have one of those moms and dads? I happen to be one of those moms and dads now, and I love it. My dad signed me up to go on my first missions trip. I was 13 or 14. I don't remember the exact age, but we were going to Monterrey, Mexico. And we were going to be working in extremely, extremely poor neighborhoods and slums and reaching kids. And I was 100% freaked out. I'd never seen anything like that. What an experience that was for a 14-year-old. And then my dad signed me up for more. They needed someone to be a clown. They were looking for someone on the team. There was about 30 people on the team. And they were looking for someone that they were going to paint their face up, put a costume on, big hair thing in 115 degrees outside. And my dad signed me up. So there I was, totally freaked out, didn't speak a word of Spanish, seeing things I've never saw. And now I'm the clown walking down the street, and it's the makeup's just running on my face, sweat. I don't know how to be a clown. I don't really like clowns. Some people do. I don't. So here I am. Maybe you like clowns. That's a great thing for you. I didn't like them, and here I was. I was probably the worst clown you have ever seen. No smile. Bad attitude. My dad made me do this. Then he took it up a notch. They needed someone to put on a San Diego chicken suit in 115, 120 degrees and walk down a street waving at kids. My dad signed me up. So I put on the San Diego chicken suit. It was 120 degrees outside, and it was like wearing a wool sleeping bag that was now wet with all my sweat in it. And the little screen that you're supposed to be able to see out where to go, I was so short, it was right here. I didn't know where I was going. My arms are the wings. So I'm walking around. They're leading me down the streets of Monterrey, Mexico, and I have no idea where I'm going. I can only hear. My nose starts bleeding. I can't make it stop. Okay? And I can't reach my hand in there and like do anything. So it's just running with blood. And then I hear a sound that I never wanted to hear again. It was the sound of what I thought was 5 million kids running for their life to see the biggest chicken they'd ever seen. And it was me. They're pushing on me. I can't make them stop. I'm yelling, stop. They can't hear me. They don't even know what I'm saying. They don't speak English. And I don't speak Spanish. So here I am, 120 degrees in the chicken suit, getting beat up by kids. There's so many kids that the escorts and the leaders can't make them stop. They barely speak Spanish themselves. Blood coming down my face. I never wanted to do that again, ever. Then I became a children's pastor later in life and signed other people up to do that. Did you do that for me? Did you ever want to? Did you wear one of those big puppets? We're still taking applications. If those of you that are here tonight would like to share in a similar experience, see Pastor Tammy at the Next Steps desk. For real, my dad signed me up for that, and that was my interpretation of all that happened. But there's another interpretation and another perspective that I didn't have. I was 14, and I was so consumed with how I looked and how people saw me and whether or not I was freaked out that I wasn't going to sign up for anything. I thank God for my dad who made me go, made me put on that chicken suit, didn't listen to my whining about me. But there's another interpretation of that story. And it's me sitting underneath a tent that evening and seeing hundreds of kids that were impacted by the giant chicken coming down the street and decided to show up and see what it was all about and heard the greatest news they could ever hear. I didn't see that perspective. I only saw me and how miserable I was, blood coming down my face. I thought, who would do this? Thank God I had a dad who could see a different perspective, made me do some of those things. There's a group of people in the Bible, and we're going to read about them in just a moment. They needed a different interpretation of what was going on. And they were about to miss what was going to happen. In fact, many of them did. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Ezra. I want to catch you up with where you are. Ezra and Nehemiah, it's one story, even though the books have been separated, about three different leaders who responded to a burden that the king of Persia, the king had a burden and released, first of all, Zerubbabel, phase one. Everybody say phase one. Phase one was Zerubbabel. It's the beginning of the book of Ezra. I'm going to teach you a little bit of church Bible knowledge here, if I could. Just add it in your portfolio of all these things that you know. So Zerubbabel goes back with the king's instructions, and they go rebuild the temple. Then we get up to Ezra 7 and 8, and now we have phase two. Everybody say phase two. Phase two of the story is actually Ezra and what he was commissioned to do. Phase three, thank you for catching on, those of you that saw the pattern. We have some pattern identifier folks. Some of you didn't get here in time for the coffee shop. It's okay. It's going to be all right. Phase three was Nehemiah coming back to rebuild the walls. But both Ezra and Nehemiah were also charged with rebuilding community, instituting the law. Who's Ezra? I even named one of my kids after him. I don't have a kid named Ezra. Oh, yes, I do. It's Akella. It's Hawaiian for Ezra. So who's Ezra? And why is it important that I need to hear this tonight? Ezra was the leader of the phase two. It's really important because tonight's the name of tonight's message, for those of you taking notes, is phase two is you. Ezra's been commissioned. He's an expert teacher in the law of Moses. And he was commissioned by King Artaxerxes to organize and administrate a journey and a mission at the end of it. He was commissioned to organize a massive haul of people and supplies from Babylon to Jerusalem. It's about 900 miles. It's not just around the corner or down the road a little ways. And Ezra has been charged to administrate whoever wants to go. Those were the instructions. Any of your fellow Israelites, even the priests and Levites, can go. In Ezra chapter 7, King Artaxerxes writes Ezra a letter. And he says in the very beginning of the letter, anyone can go that wants to go. Now, this is really important to our story because the Israelites were in exile. They were not living. They've been removed from their homeland. And they have been waiting and praying for years and years. One day we will go back. One day we can go back like Zerubbabel and see the rebuilt temple. And here it is. It's amazing. King Artaxerxes opens the door. Anyone can go back to Jerusalem that wants to go, including the priests and Levites. It's astounding, this moment in history that they find themselves in, and Ezra's in charge. And he's going to lead. We're just about to read from the Word. I'm just giving you a catch-up so you know what's going on here in this story. All along the way, they're going to need food for the journey. They're not going to fast for 900 miles, and there's no fast food places. There's no parks, rest stops with bathrooms. They're going to have to figure that out. It's whoever wants to go and their family. They're going to have babies and kids. They're going on a huge road trip. It takes them 4 months. It's a 4 month road trip to get there. They're going to have to deal with raiders and bandits and robbers along the way. Not only were they invited, but King Artaxerxes, from the Lord puts in his heart to release resource and supply to bring about a revival of community and worship. I'm going to read to you in just a minute how much he released for them. And not only did he give them all this gold and silver and articles to go renew worship, he tells Ezra, I'm giving you a blank check. Whatever you need for the journey and whatever your people need, just ask. We're going to give it to you. Absolutely incredible, the book of Ezra. Now we're in Ezra chapter 7. We're dealing with the letter. He has a blank check from the king, and he sends the word out. Who wants to go? It's what we've been praying for. Who wants to go with me? Let's do it. You don't even have to pay your way. All expenses are paid. And your prayers have been answered. So now we find Ezra chapter 8. And this is what we're going to read today, because before they set out, Ezra is going to have an administrative meeting. put all this together. And I can understand that. It's kind of the role I've been asked to play here. Before I'm setting out, I'm going to make sure I've got some things in place so nobody misses, so everyone's blessed, so nobody dies along the way, and so everybody's taken care of, and so we accomplish what our commissioning was all about. Now, if you would, turn to chapter 8, and we're going to read out of the New Living Translation, verse 15. And media team, I'm going to alter it just a little bit. Would you stand with me while we now peer into and listen into the administrative meeting of Ezra about to set out on the most amazing turn of events for the children of Israel? I hope I helped you understand something there. Let's go on. Verse 15, Ezra 8. I assembled the exile at the Ahava Canal, and we camped there for 3 days while I went over the lists of the people and the priests who had arrived. I found that not one Levite had volunteered to come along. I'm going to pause there. Did you hear what I just said? Not one Levite? Not one? Not one. Let's keep reading. So I sent for Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, and all these people's names I'm not too good at saying, who were the leaders of the people. I also sent for Joiarib and Elnathan, who were men of discernment. I sent them to Iddo, the leader of the Levites at Casiphia, to ask him and his relatives and the temple servants to send us ministers for the temple of God at Jerusalem. Verse 18, since the gracious hand of our God was on us, they sent us a man named Sherebiah, along with 18 of his sons and brothers. He was a very astute man and a descendant of Mahli. Who was a descendant of Levi, son of Israel. They also sent Hashabiah together with Jeshiah and the descendants of Merari and 20 of his sons and brothers and 220 temple servants. The temple servants were assistants to the Levites, a group of temple workers first instituted by King David and his officials. They were all listed by name. And there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. We prayed that he would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, and our goods as we traveled. For I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from enemies along the way. After all, we had told the king, our God's hand of protection is on us all who worship him. But his fierce anger rages against those who abandon him. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. You may be seated. Not only is Ezra at this administrative meeting, and he's got to get these people in an order and take care of them, the king gives a lavish gift to send. Here's what he sent and tells Ezra, figure it out. Verse 26, which we didn't read, we find out King Artaxerxes sends 25 tons of silver, 50,000 pounds of silver. Ezra's got to take care of this. Plus 3.75 tons of silver articles. That's not just the silver. That's all these bowls and dishes and things. Tons. King Artaxerxes sent 3.75 tons of gold. 20 of these golden bowls, and then these two bronze articles worth as much as gold. Ezra has quite an administrative task. So he sets down to have this administrative meeting to make sure that it's all going to get taken care of. And as he's looking over who he's got on the team, he realizes there's no Levites here. Stop everything. We cannot fulfill what God has opened the door for us because the Levites did not show up. I don't understand that. It's absolutely incredible. What was before them, and anyone can go, and not one Levite showed up. There's something wrong with this picture. Something doesn't make sense here. I've been chewing on this scripture for months. We've been doing the McChaney Bible reading plan, course at early morning prayer. But I also have an assignment from the Lord every year of a different type of reading that I do. And this was one of the readings, I don't know, a couple of months ago. And it's just stirring in me. The Levites didn't show up. I'm bothered by that. The answer to years of prayer and the hope of the whole nation is right in front of them, and they're about to miss it. Why aren't they there? Not one. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, and not one. Did they not get the memo? Didn't they check Facebook? Didn't they see the ads? The whole nation is stirred up about it. Their whole way is paid. What is going on with the Levites? What has distracted them so much that they can't see what's right in front of them? Something has blinded them. Something has derailed them. Didn't they understand what was happening? Couldn't they see it? I'm bothered by this. Why didn't they all show up? Why didn't every single one of them show up? If you count the numbers of what is before Ezra 15, which is where we started reading, right before that reading, Ezra lists how many people did come. It's almost 1,500 families showed up. They listed the men and some numbers. You add up the numbers, it's almost 1,500, but then you have to add in all their family and livestock. They're moving. They're never coming back. They're taking everything. They have a huge crowd. Where are the Levites? The mission can't happen. They have all the money they could ask for. They have all the articles to make it happen. They've been told to buy all these animals for the worship. And anything else you need, just let us know. We're going to make it happen. Stop everything. You would think that's enough. You would think everything that I just listed would be enough to make the mission happen, but it wasn't. The Levites weren't there. Why is that so important? Why is it important enough that God would point out Ezra stopped the train because the Levites didn't show up? Why would we even care? We're out of here. Ezra was given a task to bring a spiritual revival in the temple, in worship, and in the community. And it wasn't going to happen without the Levites. Why? Because they had been specially trained to bring it about. They had the training and the skills and the knowledge and the understanding and the experience to walk right in and make it happen. But they were interpreting something wrong. They didn't see the real picture that was happening, and they didn't show up. I am blown away, even though I've said it over and over again. I'm still just ringing in my mind. How did they just not want to come? I don't get it. Ezra engages in a recruitment campaign. As we see, he realizes, stop everything. There's no, all right, give me some leaders. Go get me some Levites. Because everything is in place, but we're not doing nothing without them. So he sends the leaders to Edo, and he gets back a tremendous gift from God. He gets these amazing generals of the Levites to come. And then they fast and pray, and they head out, and the rest of the book of Ezra takes place. What's this big deal about the Levites? Well, I think God is speaking to us about where we are right now at this time in history. Because we at Kings are in the midst of the most incredible revival in Alaska. And wherever a Kings is planted, there's going to be revival happen. But there's Levites that are going to miss it because they can't see it. Phase two of the story is you. Phase two is men and women using their giftings and their talents to bring about the spiritual revival that God has intended to bring about. People that are sitting and just observing and watching and think Christianity is a spectator sport, they're totally going to miss what God is doing. I'm speaking tonight to help you and I and whoever listens to this in the future to see a different interpretation, perhaps a different interpretation of what is happening right now, so that we don't become like the Levites who just about missed the train, and most of them did. The ones that showed up had to be forced to show up. They didn't come willingly. Somebody twisted their arm. So what is the real picture? Let me give you the real picture of what's happening right now. It's astounding. It's the answer to prayer, just like they found. We pray for the harvest. God's giving us a harvest. Right now, upstairs is the largest continuing meeting of youth that our church has ever had. Every Wednesday, they're growing. There's new people coming, and we're in summer. What's going to happen in the fall? Every Sunday, my precious, amazing wife is contending for people to come help her because she doesn't have enough leaders for the amount of kids that we're having back there. Hundreds of kids. Every week, 250 kids. Pastor Daniel's not exaggerating. Do you know why it's not 300? There's some Levites that are missing the train, and they're not helping facilitate making it happen. Our coffee team, I could go team by team and tell you what is happening. Our coffee team needs a second team. Did you know that we're set up for a second line? Do you ever get tired of waiting for your coffee? That's because we're supposed to have a second line. Why isn't there a second line in a second machine? The word is going out. The Levites didn't show up. I hope there's a little bit of a weight that just sunk right there. Because we are set up for the most massive revival that Alaska could ever imagine. Pastor Vicky and her transformations team never dreamed of the day that they would have, is it CityServe? Knocking on their door saying, will you be one of our distributors? It's absolutely incredible. Look it up on your own to find out what it is. We're becoming a distributor for CityServe for the state. This last weekend, we're having a huge cleanup day at the Dream Center. There's things happening that maybe you just don't know about. We are on the precipice of an enormous revival. Coming soon in the future, this facility will be paid off. And then we'll move on to something else. We're starting a school. The Sioux is starting a school. They're having an open house coming up in August. And then a week or so later, they're opening classes. It's happening. The things we are praying for, they're happening. We hit a record of life groups in the spring. Never before at Kings, Alaska, have we ever had 100 life groups. But this last spring we did. So Pastor Daniel says, that's not enough. We're going to the next level. In the fall, we want to open with 200. We've got to have some Levites show up. We've got to have men and women with experiences and talents and whatever they can bring to the table. Not be distracted, derailed, sidetracked, or just not care. It's time for the Levites to show up. It's time for the arm twisting, go make them come to end. There is a tremendous vision of what God wants to bring about in Alaska if the Levites will show up to help make it happen. I don't know where I'm at in my notes. We hope to launch Anchorage. Does Anchorage need a mighty move of God? Just drive through once. Anchorage needs revival and transformations. Anchorage needs miracles, signs, wonders, and Levites to show up that'll say, put me on the team. I will help make it happen. How can I do more? What else can I do? We want to see a powerful work in Juneau. We want to see a powerful work in Fairbanks. We want to have outreaches going to villages, right, Pastor Tim? We want to see something established. We're waiting on some Levites. Did you know there's teams that we can't open because they don't have anyone serving on them? We so desperately want a, what's it called, where they park your car for you? Well, look at that. All everyone that just said valet, I just recruited you because you knew the answer. We want a valet service. Would that benefit anyone here? A valet service, pull up, somebody will park your car for you. I don't mean a luxury. I mean to help people get in the building that struggle walking into the building. Or maybe a single mom with four kids and a stroller, and she's trying to get from way back there. Needs somebody with a burden, somebody willing to say, count me in, I'll help. Somebody with a different interpretation of what's going on around here. I needed one in Mexico. What happened to me in Mexico forever changed my life. No, I didn't become perfect, and I didn't turn into this superb physique that you see today with glowing aura wherever I go. Something happened in here. That forever made me just want to do something that matters for God. I want to do something today. That matters. I had a new interpretation of the smeary makeup and the nose running. When I sat down under that tent after my long day of sweat fest and saw hundreds of kids listening to the gospel, something happened inside me. New interpretation. The Levites needed a different interpretation of what was happening to them. And that they were the key to phase two. We have camps coming up. Pastor Kimmy has to limit how many kids can come to day camp based on how many Levites show up. Did you know she had to close it last year at 200 kids? She had to say, stop. I don't have anybody else that's willing to serve. Don't let any more kids come. I want to tell you a phenomenon that happened. And I'm not preaching this just about one team, but I've been in children's ministry for 35 years. It's kind of close to my heart. A few weeks ago, I had finished my parents' toolbox, which we will be restarting at the end of June. If you have kids of any age, I'm going to encourage you to come. It's one of the real life seminars. It's 12 weeks long, and we cover basics as well as age groups. And what's going on with this 13-year-old? What is this? This is not the same as it used to be. That's correct. How fun. What are we doing? Where did I leave off? I was coming through after putting my stuff back in my office, and I was met by, this is several weeks ago, I was met by a parade. Church had already started. It was second service, the 11 a.m. service, and it was about 15 or 20 minutes into the service already. Worship was kind of wrapping up or whatever, and as I was coming through the children's check-in area, the door opened, and a parade of kids and their parents were coming through. I thought, what is going on here? So I asked our wonderful, amazing check-in team, what are all these people doing? Do you know what they said? Somebody volunteered, and all these kids can now come in. A Levi showed up to serve, to probably put snacks on a napkin, or to help them line up straight. Not anything super complicated. Somebody was missing, and another person decided to volunteer to go in there and help, and the parade of families, many of them were brand new. It was their first experience at King's. Thank God somebody went in there and said, I'll serve. We have to have what Pastor Daniel has expressed many times, a servolution. Without it, there will be no phase two for King's Alaska without some Levites. Ezra stopped the train. We're gonna hit a roadblock as well. We can only accomplish reaching the harvest to the number of Levites that are willing to serve, to be on a team, to be a life group leader, to be an assistant. We've got to have a, God is speaking to us. See the real picture. There is revival happening in Alaska. And I just listed a whole number of areas that are growing and are going to continue to grow. And there's more. I just didn't list them all. Pastor Vicky and her team are setting records on Tuesday night at Transformations. Records of how many people are coming. We can be a part of the tremendous revival. I was not going to miss the Dream Center work day. I was having tremendous, I'm just giving you a personal transparent thing here, because I've done this before and I've seen the small steps that are the onset of an avalanche. And I want in on the small steps. I want to be there to help make it happen. I got to help move dirt that you're sitting on top of with a shovel. It's kind of mud because it was pouring rain. But either way, and I signed my sons up to come help. Dad, why are we doing this? You guys were there. You remember that? Anybody remember that? Anybody else got the privilege of move dirt? How much fun was that? Guess what? It's over. We're never doing it again. If you didn't get your name on that list, you're never going to get a chance to do that. It's gone. It's over. Maybe you weren't part of our church back then when we were at Lucille Street and we put out the call. We need some help at our new property moving dirt. I went every time I could because I knew the moment was coming. It'll all be over and there'll be carpet. So I went to the Dream Center on Saturday and worked my brains out. I didn't care that my back was hurting and I could barely walk. I grabbed that rotor tiller and I hung on for dear life. Right, Kevin? We worked our brains out. right? I was not going to miss it. Because at some point, the work will all be done over there, and it'll be this beautiful place with tremendous fruit, and the days of cleanup will be gone. I'm putting my name on the record book. I'm going to show up. The same thing is happening every week. The same thing happens every service, every outreach. Every time a team is operating, the same thing is happening. This Wednesday night will never be repeated ever again. And God, and however it works in heaven, I don't know, but they're recording who was serving. Who made a difference? Put it in their book. Because we get to stand before God and get rewarded for it. That's amazing. Every person is going to stand before God and say to themselves, I wish I'd have done more. When you see how he's going to reward you, you'll be like, I should have done more than once a year serving. I should have done once a week. We're all going to say that. We must have a tremendous release of servants. We must pray, Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers. I'm trying to spur you on to see the right way and engage, even in summer. Even in summer. I'm not telling you to miss your fishing trip. I'm not telling you to skip the state fair. I'm not telling you to not go camping. I didn't say any of that. It's on the video. You can go back and listen. Now, the Lord might be saying that to you. It wasn't me. But I am saying, don't miss what's happening right now. There is a massive revival happening, and it's going to grow, and it's time to get on the train. We just launched life groups on Sunday. Time to get on the train, right, Pastor Tammy? There's a life group guide. It's time to grow as a life group leader. If you've never been a host, it's time to be a host. Open your home for a tremendous blessing to come in. If you've never been an assistant, it's time to be an assistant. If you've never served on a team, it's time to get on a team. Go to Discover Track. Go to Pastor Tammy after service at the next steps and say, how do I get on a team? It's time to engage. Don't be like these Levites. It was a blank check, and it was all their prayers coming true, and they couldn't see it. Don't miss what's happening here. Why don't you stand with me tonight? Maybe the Lord's been stirring in you to renew your commitment or to keep your commitment in the realm of serving, or maybe to increase. Whatever it might be, don't let today, this week, the next opportunity to serve, don't let it pass you by. Move past observation. Move into action. The name of the message is Phase 2 is You. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Me too. I'm serving too. I serve as many places as I possibly can. I love it. I love serving the Lord. Let's take a moment to pray. Whatever the Lord might be speaking to you, maybe he's been calling on you, and this is a word for you, or maybe you've, in whatever scenario this word speaks to you, just have a private moment between you and the Lord right now. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this brief passage and brief word about the Levites who didn't show up. Lord, would you cause us to move into phase two? We want to accomplish your will. We want to touch Wasilla, the Matsu Valley. We want to spread into Anchorage. We want to touch our host state. We want to be like a pipeline flowing down to the lower 48, releasing the power of God. We want to fulfill the plans and purposes you have for our life collectively as a body of believers. It's not a coincidence that you've given us this beautiful, large facility. It's to accomplish phase two, to be a tremendous influence in our state, influencing decision makers, bringing about transformation and revival, changing the atmosphere. Your great desire is the kingdom of God expressed with miracles, signs, and wonders. Breaking the assignments of hell in the invisible world and resetting community here. It's not that much different than the assignment of Ezra. You've given us your precious promises without limit. You've given us your Holy Spirit to anoint us to accomplish the power of the Holy Ghost flowing through us. We recognize we've got to have people willing to serve it through and see it for what it really is. God, speak to us. Touch our eyesight, touch our perspective, enlarge our perceptions. Lord, you said, look upon the fields. You were speaking directly to the way they see the world around them. God, adjust our perceptions. I pray for a fresh revelation of what you're doing right now at this time in history. Even though it's summer, even though the sun is out, hallelujah, you're doing something very unique in Alaska. You're bringing in a harvest. You're releasing miracles. You're performing wonders. And we don't want to miss it.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.